today I'm going to talk to you a little bit and demonstrate even more about the Holy Spirit. He is my best friend. Holy Spirit is my best friend. Holy Spirit is someone that is so kind and so loving and so good that so often we just don't really realize the beauty of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know him as your friend? Do you know the Holy Spirit as your friend? Because the Holy Spirit is a person with a divine personality. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. He will not leave us, the Bible says. He will not forsake us. He is the Father's gift to the church. And we are under a divine mandate because God, who is the chief administrator of the kingdom of God, we need to understand that the Holy Spirit is here. And when we say things just like, you know, I believe in the Holy Spirit, it's not just to recite a creed or to go through a motion about the Holy Spirit and say, I believe in God the Father, I believe in Jesus Christ, I believe in the Holy Spirit. You see, we have to know that Holy Spirit is a person. And so often we ignore the Holy Spirit. We maybe talk about him like he's an it or a hunch, but he is the third person of the Trinity. And my question for you is, do you know him as your best friend? Now, everyone who has a personality, because God, the Holy Spirit, has a personality. As the personality of God, let me share this with you. The personality of someone has a mind, has a will, and has an emotion. That's what constitutes a personality. So the Holy Spirit wants to reveal the mind of God, the Father, and fulfill the will of God for your life. He also expresses emotions like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control and power. The Holy Spirit has the power to save our soul, to change us. He's the only one who can change us in the image of Christ. And so as we embrace the Holy Spirit, he is called in John chapter 6, the Holy Spirit of truth. He's a counselor. He's a comforter. This is one of my most favorite things in the whole world to talk about is the Holy Spirit. I love talking about the power, the work, the generosity, the grace. I love talking about the anointing. The Holy Spirit is my life. He is my life. He is my strength. And when you call the Spirit of truth, he is called the Spirit of Truth. He's called the Counselor. He's called the Comforter. He's called the one who's holy. He's powerful. He's never harsh. He's never rude. He's never selfish. He's never critical. And he's never judgmental. Now, he will convict. He will correct. He will instruct. He will teach. But it's so different from the way we normally hear prophetic. I heard a person just recently say, you know, I used to be in the prophetic, and I used to think that gave me license to be nasty because you're prophetic. You know, that gave me license to be mean. No, the power of the Holy Spirit will convict, will convince, and will correct all at the same time, and you won't hardly even realize what's happening. It's difficult, though, to come into a relationship with someone that we don't know, very well, is it? It really is. It's difficult to have a relationship with someone that we don't know very well. That's why I want to share with you about the Holy Spirit, because we've always said, oh, well, the Holy Spirit only bears witness of Jesus and the Father. True, he does bear witness of Jesus and the Father, but that doesn't mean that we don't want to get to know him. Because he is a person. He is a part of the Godhead. He's a part of the Trinity. And so he's the one who is sent here on this earth. So hallelujah, the Bible says Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And God the Father in heaven, who is on this earth then? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is here. He works through, he moves through everything. So we've got to get to know him as our best friend, as our confidant, as our advocate, as our standby, as our helper. In John chapter 16, verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, the Bible says, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. This is so perfect. He's so humble. That's the personality of the Holy Spirit. He's so humble that he's always bragging on the Father and the Son. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't need to be acknowledged. That's showing his humility. The Holy Spirit is so humble. Out of the presence of the Holy Spirit is power, is glory, is radiant light. There have been people that have gone to heaven and have seen the glory of the Lord. Throughout all heaven, the glory and the splendor of God is there in a light show. You know, you have ever seen the Aurora Borealis? Have you ever seen that? That's exactly what's going on in heaven. There are spiritual fireworks that the Holy Spirit is demonstrating all the time. And so the Holy Ghost does not speak of his own resources, but what he does is speak of what he hears the Father speak. That's what I mean to say. The Holy Spirit will always speak what he hears the Father speak, because they are one together in unity. Don't let the de-emphasis of our relationship with the Holy Spirit be de-emphasized in this. Let it be emphasized, because the Bible says we are the temples of the Holy Ghost. We are the temples of the Holy Ghost. He's beautiful. You see, the metaphors of the Holy Ghost are so obvious. There's rain throughout Scripture. There's oil. There's wind. Okay? These are metaphors, but they're not the Holy Ghost. He's not a dove. Okay? These are metaphors of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a real person. And the beauty of the Holy Spirit is that he's come to reside within you if you've asked God to be your Savior. And guess what? He's got to be your best friend. You need to rise up in the morning and say, Holy Ghost, I love you. Holy Spirit, I love you. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is with us always. He's with us always. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible says they were waiting for the power of God to come. They were waiting for the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit came, he filled them with such joy. He filled them with such delight that the things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The Holy Spirit is so awesome. He brings you joy in the midst of anything that you would feel alone in. He gives you comfort. He's always there to comfort you. He's always there to stand by you, to be your helper. What a beautiful illustration of God himself being our helper. God himself. He said that the Holy Spirit will come to be your advocate. That's like one who stands alongside to cheer you on. That's who he is. He stands alongside of you to advocate you for you. He's your advocate. He tells you God loves you. He tells you I am for you, not against you. He stands alongside to help you in your weaknesses and in your infirmities. And when you pray in the Holy Spirit, you take hold with the Holy Spirit against every infirmity of your flesh. That's why it's so important to pray in your understanding and to pray in the Holy Spirit. Do you know what? This church is not afraid and not ashamed of the Holy Spirit. We're not ashamed of tongues. We're not ashamed of the Holy Spirit, because we know he is our best friend. Oh, shabak rabon derebere shata. As we begin to pray in tongues, as we begin to worship him, as we begin to honor him, he comes. Most people are not used to that. That's why sometimes our attendance is low. But you know what? As we begin to as we begin to pray, as we begin to worship God, as we begin to honor the presence of the Holy Spirit, then people will come to watch us burn. They'll just be going, what is this? This is odd, but I kind of like it. I feel good. You know why? Because the minute people step into heaven, the presence of the Holy Spirit is throughout there, and there's love. There's joy. There's peace. The atmosphere of the Holy Spirit is righteous. It's holy. It's separated from everything that's evil. It's so beautiful. So now the way to intimacy with the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to give you some ways to be intimate with him. As you give yourself to prayer, as you give yourself to the Word of God, and as you give yourself to fellowshipping with him as a person, inviting him to fellowship with you, to be one with you, to speak to you, to guide you into all truth, you know, magnificent things can happen. Although we may sense the blessing of the Holy Spirit as we read the Word, as we receive direction and witnessing, we still may lack communion with him. Because some people are afraid of him. That's why some people don't want to go to Holy Spirit churches. They're afraid of him. They're afraid of that. But you know what? I am not afraid of the gospel of Jesus. For it is the power of God unto salvation. It is the power of God to those who believe. Life in the Spirit is so awesome. If you read through Romans chapter 8, you'll find the power of life in the Spirit to be awesome. It takes away loneliness. It takes away fear. It takes away everything. That's why it's so important in the morning to commune with the Holy Spirit, because then you literally step into a grace bubble whereby you're walking through life. It doesn't mean that you don't have problems, but it means that you're cushioned. Okay? You're cushioned as things go. It's your cushion. The fiery darts of the wicked one may be thrown at you, but you have the power to quench every fiery dart of the wicked one when he comes. Many people feel his coming is equal to power for gifts. That's not altogether what the Holy Spirit is called on us and wants us to have. Yes, that's a part of it. But from my experience with the Holy Spirit, it's a friendship. It's a camaraderie. It's a relationship. And that out of that comes glory and goodness and demonstration. But getting to know the Holy Spirit requires spending time with him, allowing him to talk to you. As we do, we learn to be sensitive to his moods, because he has moods which reveal his desire for us in particular situations. Then we will pray the will of the Father, and guess what? We learn how to please Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God loves to answer our requests because they fulfill his will for us. As we give ourselves to prayer, as we give ourselves to worship, to the study of Scripture, we can expect to come into a very, very satisfying relationship with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. He comes to be our counselor. He comes to be our guide into all truth. We know how wonderful a person he is because he showed us Jesus. He was working with Christ all the time when Christ was on earth. They were one. They were working together. The emotional response of the Holy Spirit. I would hate to live my life without expressing emotions, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you hate to live your life without expressing emotions? Some feel emotions are wrong in spirituality, and yet they really love a football game. Yay! Yay! Yeah! Yeah! They really love it when friends and family come over. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, we love you, love you, love you, love you. Holy Ghost? Love the Holy Ghost? Oh, that's too spooky. But he's real. He's real. And he shows us his glory, and he shows us his goodness, and he speaks through us the mysteries of God. When you don't know what to pray for as you ought, you pray in the Holy Spirit, and he will take hold with you against the infirmities of your flesh. and the infirmities of your situations. And he will guide and direct your steps. He will go before you. The Holy Spirit will release angels for you to fight your battles. Praise God. So you really love a football game, huh? Or you really get angry at someone. Or you delight yourself in a gift. All those are emotions that are shed. Do you know the psychologists say that holding back emotions and bottling them up inside of you is actually bad for your body? If you're pretty stoic, I'm a word man. I'm a word man. That's what I like. I'm a word woman. And you don't show any emotions, it's bad. It's actually bad for your body. It hurts your body. You know, Scripture does not advocate venting anger irresponsibly. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not talking about just being an emotional junkie. You know, you need to develop self-control. But a hard-hearted, self-centered, stoic person who does not express emotions of gratitude or tenderness to God or the ability to weep and cry in the presence of God when the Holy Spirit is there, there's something wrong. Okay? There's something wrong. We need to understand that a man who's happy, complimentary, loving, tender, you know, as godly character, is that's not a weakness. That's a strength. Holy Spirit is a person who has definite emotional responses. He has definite emotional characteristics. I wrote that in The Costly Anointing. He is definitely grieved, and I'm going to go through some things that can cause the Holy Spirit to hurt him. There's ways that we hurt and vex the Holy Spirit. One of the attitudes, the emotional attitudes of the Holy Spirit that causes him, because he's got feelings, okay? We can grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30 says that. And can we put the scripture up there? We can grieve the Holy Spirit. As Tom puts that up there, remember that the backdrop to this, if you read it in context, you always have to interpret scripture in context of what it's saying. That's one of the ways, it's hermeneutics, it's a way of understanding the Bible. You must read it in context. Okay, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Amen? And the way in which you grieve the Holy Spirit is, if you look at the backdrop, you grieve the Holy Spirit through evil speaking, through slander, through talking negatively. These kind of things can grieve the Holy Spirit. Let me read it to you, okay? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Do we have it, Tom? Do we have it? Okay, can you put it up now, or should I look for it? Be honest. Look for it? Okay, I'll look for it. Okay, 1 minute? Okay. So one of the ways in which we grieve the Holy Spirit is, the Bible says, through talking, and I'm going to read it in context, and then you can see this beautiful scripture. In Ephesians 4, it talks, here, verse 30, it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Tom. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And if you read what grieves the Holy Spirit, it's actually in Matthew chapter 15, verse 19. There's a lot of scripture here because the Holy Spirit brings scripture to our illumination. That's his job. He illuminates the scripture. He shows us the scriptures. He gives us hope, and he shows us in a revelatory way what the Bible means. That's why there's no private interpretation to the scripture. The same Holy Spirit that's speaking to me is speaking to you, okay? And he will reveal things to come. Can we put up that Matthew 15:19? Are we able to do that? Can we do that? Okay. He says, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. These things, actually, the Bible says, are the things that cause the Spirit of God to be grieved. These cause the Spirit of God to be grieved. All right? It's not what goes into a man that defiles him, the Bible says, but what comes out of the heart. And, you know, most of us would say, well, I don't have any murder. I don't have any adultery. Maybe some of you do. Sexual immorality, maybe some of you do. Theft, false testimony. But you know what? How many times do we slander people and we don't realize it by speaking evil against them? Man, they're evil. They're mad. They're nasty. Or we mock them. That's a form of slander. Did you know that? Mocking someone is a form of slander. Ha, oh, look at them. Yeah. Would you do that in front of them? Would you want someone to say that about you? If the shoe fits, wear it, okay? That's the way we grieve the Holy Spirit, by talking evil. Evil thoughts, murder, adultery, okay. Now, there's another way we can grieve the Holy Spirit, and he is a person, so we want to know what he likes and what he doesn't like. Because if we want him to be our friend, and we do, we desperately need him. We desperately need him. We've got to know what works for him and what doesn't. This is a way, the Bible says, we can actually vex the Holy Spirit. In Isaiah 63, verse 10, it says, they failed to heed the conviction of the Holy Spirit. It says, they rebelled and they grieved his Holy Spirit. So he turned and he became their enemy. And he himself fought against them. Now, for that, what we have to understand is repentance is the answer. Whenever you feel like the Holy Spirit was telling you something, be quick to repent. Be quick to say, I'm sorry, Holy Spirit, I missed you there. He's so forgiving. That's the beauty of the Holy Spirit, is he's so forgiving, but he does not want to be slighted. He does not want to be slighted because he is a person. And we need to respect him. Okay? Offended. Holy Spirit can be offended by a response to him. And from that, the Bible says, we need to repent of that. So you can offend the Holy Spirit. You can also quench the Holy Spirit. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19, let's take a look at this. This is where the Bible exhorts us, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not quench the Spirit's fire. For when the Holy Spirit is speaking or he's moving, we don't quench that. In a setting like this, when the Holy Spirit is moving, you don't want to take out your sandwich and start munching and biting it and eating it. Or you don't want to take out your wrapper and go, or just stand up and walk out. Okay? There are ways in which we can quench the Holy Spirit. And the word quench actually means this, to choke the throat of the Spirit. Like you're choking him. You see, the Holy Spirit is very tender. He's very gentle. Angels, if you have ever seen an angel or if you've ever been ministered to by angels, they're very soft, they're very gentle. They're very powerful, but they're very gentle at the same time. And that's the way the Holy Spirit is. You don't want to put out the Spirit's fire, okay, by choking the throat of the Holy Spirit. Another way in which we can misuse and take advantage of our friend, our best friend, is by lying to the Holy Spirit. Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit. And what that means is, if we promise God one thing with the full intention to do another, like, oh God, I'll follow you anywhere, I'll do anything for you, Lord, I'm, you know, and do we really mean that? Oh Lord, I'll go to Africa, I will do that, I promise you, I'll do it. Do we really mean that when we say it? Now, sometimes we may mean it when we say it, but we fall. And that's when he is our God. He forgives us if we confess. Okay? And we can do that. We should do that. But what we really should mean what we say. Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit, and that wasn't a pretty sight. To defraud the Holy Spirit. We can defraud the Holy Spirit by taking to ourselves the honor that's due to God. Do you know who did that? King Nebuchadnezzar. And he ended up mad. Have you ever felt like you're totally crazy? Have you ever felt like, I'm losing my mind? Well, maybe you're taking on too much responsibility, and maybe you're taking on too much of what God alone needs to have for the honor. Okay? In other words, we in Him we live, in Him we move, and in Him we have our being. And King Nebuchadnezzar was humbled because he walked in pride. God is able to abase. In Daniel chapter 4, verse 37, it says, those who walk in pride, God is able to abase. So we've got to get rid of that pride of taking to ourselves the glory that only God deserves. Only God deserves the glory. To Him be glory and honor on earth and in heaven, everywhere. His is the praise. His is the honor. He's the one who's the source of all good things. Even every gift that we've been given, we cannot even take credit for those Holy Spirit gifts given to us. They're gifts. They're divinely unctioned by God, and they're gifted even in our mother's womb. We were given those gifts from the Holy Spirit. That's awesome. That's awesome. And so the glory belongs to God. Another person who defrauded the Holy Spirit was Herod, and that's not a good thing to do. Herod promptly proclaimed himself as a god. Angel of the Lord smote him because he didn't give God glory. This is dangerous. This is a dangerous thing. So we don't want to take credit for human accomplishments. Another way in which we can walk in and we grieve the Holy Spirit is by resisting Him. In Acts 7, verse 51, the Lord rebuked them as being stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart. It says, always resisting the Holy Ghost. So how do we resist the Holy Spirit? By not letting Him clean us up. Lord, wash over me. Amen? Wash over me. Another way that we can hurt the Holy Spirit is by blaspheming Him. And some people are messed up at this because they think they've committed that unpardonable sin. But literally what blasphemy is, okay, I'm going to tell you this. It is, if a person desires to be forgiven from a sin, that's evidence that they have not committed the sin of blasphemy and apostasy. Okay? That's evidence because they want forgiveness. Okay? But to know God and then willfully turn from God in disobedience and reject God, that is called blasphemy. That's called blasphemy because you're attributing everything you've ever known to the devil, and you're turning and saying, that's from the devil. I don't want that. Okay? So what are the positive responses when the Holy Spirit shows up, when the Holy Spirit demonstrates His love? Even every day when you get up, you say, Holy Spirit, I love You. You're my friend. Holy Spirit, what do we need to do? First of all, we need to obey Him. The Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We need to obey Him, even in the little things. Walk slowly and carry a big stick. Okay? Walk slowly through life. I've learned the hard way that one of the worst ways of living is to walk too quickly and to go too fast. If you walk slowly, you know, you'll be able to hear God because sometimes we're a little hard of hearing. But if we walk a little slower and we just ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us throughout the day, and we say, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Guide me into all truth. Show me how to obey the Father. Holy Spirit, You're my friend. You live within me. I am a temple of Yours. Help me to obey You. Then He will always lead you into the Scriptures, because the Scriptures will be a word, it'll be a word in season for you, a lamp to your feet, a light to your path. And He will always lead you into the Scriptures and show you things from the Word. That's why the Word of God is so valuable to us. We got a purpose in our heart to moment by moment obey Him and to believe that, you know, the Spirit of truth is with us. Money is not the most important thing, although we spend the majority of our time trying to get it. The most important thing in our life is listening to the Holy Spirit and being friends to Him. Obedience to God. To be a yielded vessel that God can work through. Philippians 2, 12 to 13 says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which works in you both to will and do his good pleasure." I remember when we were just recently on a trip, I was out with Laurel and I was moving too quickly. I'm serious. I have learned never, ever to move too quickly. I mean, I just don't anymore, because as I was moving too quickly, it was raining out one day, and I was holding my umbrella, and I was trying to get from one place to the next, and I was kind of moving too quickly, and I poked someone in the eye with my umbrella, and I said, "I'm sorry." I said to the man, "I am so sorry. Please forgive me. It was raining, I couldn't see," but the problem was, I probably could have seen if I would have held that little umbrella up higher and not been in such a hurry. But the Holy Spirit spoke to me when that happened, and he said, "That is important for you to tell my church, for them not to hurry through their life and hurry through their days, but allow me to speak to them and guide them. Because I will show them my glory." It's God's will to show us his glory. You know, Jesus prayed this. He said, "Lord, glorify your Son. Glorify, Father, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you." What he was saying is, he's saying, upgrade. I'm coming into an upgrade right now. Upgrade me, Holy Spirit. Upgrade me so that I can demonstrate who the Father is. Hallelujah. How we honor the Holy Spirit is extremely important. We need to just esteem him and honor him and say, "My goodness, I love you. You're awesome." You know, how many of you enjoy a praise or an encouragement from someone? Oh, I'm telling you, Holy Spirit does too. Holy Spirit, you're so awesome. Holy Spirit, you show me things to come. You're so beautiful. Thank you for being a wonderful God. Thank you for always forgiving me. Thank you for guiding me. Thank you for leading me. And you don't have to even go beyond your nose for this. You have to look up into the heavens and expect some big poof coming out of the sky or something. Holy Spirit lives in you. Holy Spirit, you are my guide. You are the third person of the Trinity, and you live inside of me. So what are the results of this kind of communion with the Holy Spirit? Victory. Fellowship of the Holy Spirit makes it possible for us to look at things with a positive attitude. If in the morning we sense his freshness, our bodies may be a little bit tired, but as you pray, you start to sense that freshness. You can gain the strength as you go through the day. The challenges of that day come to you, and yet you know that in every situation, you're going to be victorious through this. You know, you give God your problems immediately when it happened. Give God your problems and say, "Holy Ghost, lead me and teach me." This is what you need to do immediately when a problem comes. Don't try to figure it out yourself. Don't try to push on through it. Don't try to ignore the presence of God Almighty within you. But you say, "Holy Ghost, show me how to alleviate this problem. Holy Spirit, show me, lead me." Be diligent. You know, even when you're doing things, mundane things like raking or cooking or cleaning or something, you run into a problem, something happens. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Cry out for the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, show me. Holy Ghost, come, show me truth. Holy Ghost, it's right there. Hallelujah. Then we can wait on the answer, and the Holy Spirit will reveal to us wisdom. He is faithful to answer and show us good things. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, teach me about this problem. Give me the answer from the mind of God. Cry that out. Okay? Revelation is another benefit of the Holy Spirit. These are the results of communing with the Holy Spirit. These are the results of not grieving, vexing, or resisting the Holy Spirit, is that you have this time with God, the revelation comes, where you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart what needs to be done that day, you then become his bride in combat boots. You then become his very bride, the one that he communes with, the one that he says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. You become the Holy Spirit's bride. Oh, but we're so busy sometimes. Oh, I got to stay at home. I got to stay at home. I got to stay at home. I got to do this. I got to go here. I got to do this. I got to do. You're missing being the bride. Who doesn't want to be the bride? Who would miss church for anything? I wouldn't miss church for anything. Church is where my life is. Church is where God is. Church is when today we're celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, where everyone comes together. Hallelujah. It's a celebration in the Jewish holiday of everyone coming together in unity, of every tabernacle or every temple of the Holy Spirit being in unity together. That's what we're celebrating today. All the temples of the Holy Ghost coming together into one huge temple of the Holy Spirit. In the temple of God or the church of God. Oh, but we're too busy. I'm not too busy for God. I'm not too busy for the Holy Ghost, believe me. Because when the Holy Spirit comes, he will actually just dispel all spiritual weariness, all mental weariness, all physical weariness. Renewal comes as we wait upon the Spirit in prayer. And as we wait upon him, we know that he's with us. We know, we say, don't expect for it to just drop off the in the air like ripe cherries. You see, you're a temple of the Holy Spirit. You say, Holy Spirit, show me something today. I'm sitting here in church. Show me something today. Show me something I need to know. Holy Spirit, guide me into all truth. Holy Spirit, guide me. He's that still small voice. He's always with you. He's giving you joy, peace, righteousness, guiding you. Protection. He gives you protection. This is a benefit. All around about you is a bubble of protection. You go through these fiery darts of the wicked one, and you don't get bitter from them. You get better. You're just like, oh, yeah, uh-huh, sure, okay. Yeah, God's with me. We're going to handle this. God's with me. We're going to handle it. It's going to be okay. The fire in the kitchen, God's with me. He can handle it. Cookies burn. God's with me. He can handle it. You know, whatever it is, kids are screaming. Oh, yeah, they're falling around. They're running around with somebody else. They're not coming to church. God's with me. He can handle it. Stay calm and trust in God. Stay calm. Protection is yours, according to Psalm 91. Anointing is yours. He will teach you. Motivation is yours. Look at Galatians. I love Galatians. It says, for the Spirit of the Lord, I love this, the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. For if we live by the Spirit, if you read through Romans, you realize in Galatians how many times that word Spirit is written. If you live by the Spirit, what does that mean to live by the Spirit? It means walking in communion with the Holy Spirit. Walking in communion with God. God will rise up within you and he will speak to you. As you commune with him, he will say, no, this is bad. Yes, this is good. Or if he knows that you can't hear him, he will just do it himself. Because he knows that you want to hear him. He knows the want to inside of you. He sees the sincerity of your heart to be his friend. And if you fully cannot understand what he's saying, he'll go and box the devil for you. It's awesome walking with the Holy Ghost. You don't want to miss it. For the world. You don't want to miss it for anything. Nothing. Not even a hot fudge sundae with chocolate all over it and whipped cream and cherries. You don't want to miss it. It's the best thing ever. You know, when we were on our trip, I love going to a good meal. But man, I like that good meal, but coming home to the Holy Ghost is even better. And sleeping with the Holy Ghost is awesome because he's a comforter. And shining with the Holy Ghost through the day and smiling, enjoying the Holy Spirit throughout the day, knowing that he's giving you those good thoughts and those good feelings. Oh, man, that's better than a hot fudge sundae triple. It's just, it's better than Laurel's Bakery. So the ministry, though, of the Holy Ghost through meditation and prayer, you enter into this ministry of the Holy Spirit, and you have what's called divine boldness. The Christian life can become very dull and very routine, even very negative and sour, if we don't have consistent communion with the Holy Spirit. And I'm talking about setting aside that time to say, it's just you and me, God. I don't want anything else to stand in the way of us. You're more important to me than anything. Give me, Lord, a new understanding of the word. Bring me into a new walk with you. Can you close your eyes right now? We're going to do that right now. We're going to do that in the time that we have right now. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come very near and dear to us, become nearer and dearer to us, to rise up within us, to illuminate the scripture to us, to be our best friend. I'm serious. This is a moment of reckoning. This is a moment where we're going to say, Holy Spirit, be my best friend. Do you know, when the Holy Spirit comes and he glorifies you, it doesn't matter if you have the worst clothes on in the world. It doesn't matter if your hair is perfect or if your makeup is on. It doesn't matter if you even committed a sin. The Holy Spirit will be there to forgive you if you ask for forgiveness, and he'll be able to lift you out of that into the presence of God like that, in a moment. In a moment, he'll overtake you. He'll overwhelm you. If you want him, he'll be there. If you want him, he'll be there. If you want him, he'll be there. And so what we're going to do right now is just soak in the presence of God. In this moment right now, we're going to soak in the presence of the Holy Spirit because God's heart beats for you. He's calling out to you. Just wait. Don't move anybody. Just stay right where you're at. And just let the love of Jesus overwhelm you, because the Spirit of God will reveal Christ to you. He'll reveal Christ's love for you. He'll reveal Christ's mercy to you. He'll reveal the death and the resurrection of Christ. He'll reveal the glory of the Lord. He'll reveal himself to you. He'll show you how good he is. He will. And then he'll say, my heart beats for you.
Hear the beating of his heart. Hear the beating of his heart. It's for you. Hear the beating of his heart. The beating of his heart, it's for you. La-da-da-da, 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 la-da-da-da. He's smiling for you, his favor for you, dreaming for you, yeah.
It's beating of his heart. Reach out your hands for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is here. Holy Spirit, there is a literal anointing, not only within you, but the Holy Spirit is coming upon you right now. He's coming upon you. He's not only rising up within you, but he's coming upon you for a holy union. For the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Come into his presence. Come into his presence.
His heart beats for you.
His heart beats for you. His heart beats for you.
His heart beats for you.
He's calling out to you.
His love is for you.
Says there's a wound in your head that the Lord is healing right now. Reach out. Reach out to receive that healing from the Lord. Jesus is healing you. He's healing you. Reach out and receive the Holy Spirit's power. Holy Spirit's power. Wash, cleanse. Holy Spirit, you are welcome right now in this place. Father, I thank you for the blessing. Wash, wash over us, Lord, right now with your love. Wash over us now, right now, right now. Rebaha, robahan, dralalapate, brocheki. Rendorobokuru brachek, rabrande, sende. Abracholamato, brashem, brahande, rebekuru bahashe. Bafaso, humbretende, lalalabahata, rebakata. Vrete, for I will cut off the enemy's power and control over your life today. I will cut off all jealousy. I will cut off all selfish ambition. I will cut off all those idols that have separated you and I. I will cut them off. In the presence of my spirit, there is the fullness of joy. Come into my presence right now. Even so, ask me in areas where you have made mistakes, in areas where you have vexed and grieved the Holy Spirit. Ask for forgiveness. And then come boldly into my presence to receive grace to help in a time of need. Let my spirit wash over you. For even as the Spirit wills, I want to give you gifts even now, gifts of healing, gifts of deliverance, gifts of salvation. For in my presence, I will drive out all demonic activity. So wash. Let your heart be washed. Let your soul be cleansed. Let your spirit man be anointed with fresh oil from heaven. Hallelujah. Let's rejoice right now, all of us, in the presence of the Lord. And just worship as we sing this song, wash over me, Lord. Wash over me. Thank you. Father, we want to be friends with the Holy Spirit. We want to be friends with the third person of the Trinity. We want to acknowledge the Holy Spirit in our lives today. We receive, God, the blessing of knowing God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We receive that blessing, Lord, today. We worship you and thank you, God, as we exalt you, Lord. We lift up our hearts in your presence and we worship you. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. You are welcome here. Holy Spirit, Jesus. There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You are living home. Your presence. This is what happened. You know, I don't know if you knew this. this or not, but one of the most powerful women that ever lived, her name was Catherine Kuhlman. She asked the Lord to forgive her because she was actually carrying on with a married man. She knew it was wrong. She said, "Lord, I know this is wrong, and I'm going to walk away from this relationship." And that's when the Holy Spirit told her that, "I forgive you, and I will bless you with my presence." And the Holy Spirit came upon her. No matter what it is, whether it be adultery or whether it be just slander or gossip, things such as these that grieve the heart of God, evil thoughts, murders, adultery, theft, whatever it is, we need to confess those before the Lord. We need to ask Him to forgive us for negative attitudes and ideas, anything that would grieve the Holy Spirit. We need to ask Him to forgive us for defaming. You know, sometimes we don't even realize we do it. You know, if something's going wrong, we naturally want to try to blame somebody else. You know, it's that church that did it, or it's this person that did it, or this person did it. You know, all of that grieves the Holy Spirit. And what we need to do is ask for forgiveness from the Holy Spirit, from God Almighty, and ask Him to change our lives so that we would have a closer communion with Him. And then go forward and believe that it's there. Okay? So what we're going to do is just corporately, we're going to ask Him to forgive us. Heavenly Father, we've come before You in the name of Jesus. And we ask, Father, that You would forgive us. We ask that You would forgive us. Holy Spirit, forgive us for grieving You, for vexing You, for resisting You, for disobeying You, for defrauding You, and taking on credit for things that only You alone have authored. Lord, for thinking of ourselves too highly, for not acknowledging the body and how we all work together, how we all fit together, and how every person is important. Lord, help us. We ask for forgiveness today. And Lord, we pray that as You convict us of sin, Lord, that You also convict us of righteousness, that we have a fresh start today, that we can be Your best friend, that we can be Your friend forever. And we ask for You to come and fill us right now. Thank You for that, Lord, for forgiving us. And tomorrow when we wake up in the morning, we're going to say, "Good morning, Holy Spirit. Today is a fresh day. Today is a new day. I'm not going to listen to the lies of condemnation, doubt, and worry." Oh, especially worry, Lord. Worry. All worry is a form of pride. It's defrauding the Holy Spirit. It's taking on more responsibility than we need to. So, Father, we can all worry. We get rid of it. We don't have that pride, Lord. We know that You are the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, that in You we live and move and have our being. And God, right now, in the name of Jesus, we cast all of our cares upon You, knowing that You care for us. And God, we believe and we obey and we honor Your Holy Spirit today. In Jesus' name, we love You and praise You. Now, let's just thank Him for what He's doing. Amen? Let's thank Him. Let's thank Him throughout the house. Let's thank Him. Thank Him. Just thank Him that He can be our best friend. Our best friend. Just tell Him right now, "Holy Spirit, You're my best friend. You're my best friend. You're with me always. I'm a temple of You. Hallelujah. And I'm going to believe that I live and move and have my being in You. And I'm motivated by love." Amen. Love motivates me. So let's share that love with one another today. Why don't we go throughout the house and just encourage each other?